live. The Tap.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keys. People in coastal North Carolina and Virginia, all the way up to Maryland, are hunkering down, hoping to avoid major damage as Tropical Storm Ophelia heads north. Hurricane specialists warn that the biggest risk will be the threat of flooding from heavy rain. The winds have dropped, though, to about 50 miles an hour from 70 when the storm made landfall this morning. WJZ-TV reporter Miona Massey is in Annapolis.
We are here just bracing for those impacts. The rain expected to pick up throughout the day. The wind, a major concern here, as we're also bracing for potential flooding as that rain does pick up.
Federal workers are bracing as well for a government shutdown that is looking more likely by the day, as lawmakers have not passed a spending bill. CBS's Jeff Glore.
House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who is facing challenges within his own party, outlined a new plan that he says is confident will help end the standoff once the House returns Tuesday. But leaders of the largest federal employee labor union are less optimistic and warn the writing is on the wall, they say. On Friday, the Biden administration directed federal agencies to begin preparations for a shutdown.
The United Auto Workers strike has expanded and workers say they want fair pay. CBS's Bradley Blackburn with the latest.
It is time for us to be treated fairly.
More than 5,600 workers joined the UAW strike Friday from 38 parts distribution centers. They join more than 13,000 union employees that were already striking at three plants in the Midwest. The union is demanding higher wages and better benefits and says car makers have seen record profits.
We got 6% in pay increases. CEOs got 40% pay increases. Meanwhile, the companies have made billions and billions in profit. So the consumers are being price gouged by these companies.
Bradley Blackburn, CBS News, New York.
Pope Francis is presiding over a gathering of Mediterranean area Catholic bishops expressing concern over the plight of migrants. CBS's Anna Matranga is there.
Pope Francis is asking European leaders to take united action to tackle the urgent humanitarian crisis facing migrants. Speaking at a conference of bishops and youth of countries bordering the Mediterranean Sea, Francis called migration a reality of our times. He urged European leaders to open their countries to migrants, saying, "Those who risk their lives at sea do not invade. They look for welcome for life."
In central Somalia, police say at least 10 people are dead and over a dozen are hurt after a truck bomb exploded at a security checkpoint. Nearby buildings were destroyed as well. Police are now saying that the death toll is likely to rise. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Vice President Kamala Harris will campaign at the University of Wisconsin in Madison early next month. Young voters are expected to have a lot to say about next year's election. Mike Mohn reports.
The Brookings Institution says by the 2028 presidential election, people under the age of 45 will serve as the majority of U.S. voters. At the Alliance for Youth Action, Dakota Hall says young voters want transformational change and won't be satisfied unless there are what he describes as sweeping reforms relating to democracy.
These are folks who went to high school and witnessed nothing but news coverage on their different social media feeds of like dysfunction, of government shutdowns, and then a global pandemic, right? And so they've seen the worst of what this country can be.
For more progressive young voters, nearly 2 in 3 see safeguarding abortion access as a top priority. Those identifying as more conservatives see bringing inflation under control as their top issue. Michael Hayes, a former consultant, says political attitudes and party identification tend to be formalized by young voters in their late teens and early 20s. He adds a family's political values will influence a young person, but also notes political events can also shape their outlook.
Many of them may identify initially as independents, but they lean toward one party or another. But once the attitudes are formed and once people begin to use them in their political behavior and their voting, they tend to firm up pretty consistently.
Meanwhile, Brookings Institution researchers point out that younger Americans are tilting the electoral playing field strongly toward Democrats. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Delicious Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5, The Tap. 93.5, The Tap. 2001 to 2003. What you're about to hear is about more than just football. It's about life. This is Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Now, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Wipe the dust out your eyes. Earl and me gonna try to break down this debacle that happened yesterday. What's up, Earl?
All right. Good morning and welcome to Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger on the Earl Ingram Show. Let me say this to you first, Gilbert. How you doing, man?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. I saw the ceiling this morning, so I'm good.
All right. The Packer game. Here's what people need to understand. They're not as good as they were, as people thought they were, when they beat the Bears. Because as I said last week, they beat the Bears. They come on, man. They beat the
Earl. Earl, you're going too deep.
Wait, Gil.
Come on. You sound like you're tooting your own horn.
No. Listen, the Bears got beat up again. Yesterday. Yeah, they got beat up. Again, bad. And so when the Packers beat the Bears, we were all excited. People were all excited. The Packers, Packers, the Packers back. And so when they lost to the Falcons yesterday, and what I thought was a very entertaining game, it goes to show the people with the know-how picked the Packers at 9-8 or 8-9.
Oh, so you trying to pull the plug on them already, Earl?
Is that what you're trying to
say? Huh?
Gilbert.
You sound like you're trying to pull the plug already, Earl.
Listen, it's not that you're pulling the plug. You played the game. It's not so easy to bring in all new players, basically, and a brand new quarterback, basically. And then
so you saying you pushing the panic button already?
I'm not pushing the panic button. I was,
the way you saying,
hey Gilbert, I was one of those guys who agree with the 9-8 from the beginning.
I understand all that. I go game by game.
Okay,
I ain't gonna sit up there and say they're gonna be 9-8. What dude know they're gonna be 9-8? You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna do that. I'm gonna go game by game. And I'm going to break it down. This week, you got to look at this game. Number one, we had key players out of this game. Number one. Two, you got to ask yourself, did we get out coached this game?
Hey.
You cannot lose momentum going into the third and fourth quarter. And you got to tell me we can't get a first down?
Hey, Gilbert. So LaFleur. The coach, you know, what he said,
"Yeah, he got to take some of this blame too."
But you know, what he
stop
said?
Pointing at, stop pointing at Jordan Love so much.
Well, you know, you know what he said when they asked him the question about
what?
Well, you had your good players out. You know what he said? Next man up. He didn't say, "Oh man, we didn't have Aaron Jones, we didn't have Bakhtiari, we didn't have." He said, "Next man up." In other words,
it seems to me that he don't know the next man up. He don't know what kind of caliber the next man up is, because it ain't the same caliber.
Well, clearly.
They ain't got nobody out there like Bakhtiari. They ain't got nobody out there like Jones. They ain't got nobody out there like Watson. If they did, it would be next man up. It's not like that.
Well, Gilbert, the starters are the starters on all the teams, right?
So
there's a reason why they're starters, and there's a reason why they're backups. For whatever reason, the guys.
But there's going to be a difference in the nucleus of the team if you got three starters out at key positions.
I know, but you can't. In the NFL, they excuses, you know, don't nobody want to hear it. The Jets lost yesterday, and the Jets could have
said. So you going to tell me, listen to this, Earl. So you going to tell me if you got Lamar Jackson at the starter, and you got Tim Tebow backing him up. When Tim Tebow starts, there's no difference?
No, I'm not
next
saying.
Next man up?
Hey, Gilbert, I'm not saying there's no difference, but in the NFL, as you always say, not for long.
Not for long,
the
baby.
The people pay all that money to watch the games, and they don't want to hear excuses. They don't want to hear.
Hey, man, you're going to get excuses. Everybody can't play like everybody.
Hey, Gilbert, when you were playing, the coaches didn't say, "Hey, today we probably ain't got a chance to win because Brett Favre ain't playing." And none of y'all would accept that.
Nah, he ain't going to say that. He ain't going to say that. But in the back of his mind, he's like, man.
I know.
Man, we ain't got such and such.
Hey, I know in the back of his mind he's saying that. But
you got to also say this, Earl. If I'm playing and I go down, my backup is not me.
I know. But
you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but Gilbert, every team can say that, right? Not just the Packers. Every team could say that. And so that couldn't be the excuse.
At three key positions, though, Earl. Three key positions.
Gilbert, so are you saying that's an acceptable?
Left tackle is a key position.
I know.
Running back is a key position. Receiver is a key position.
Are you saying that that's an excuse for why they lost yesterday? I can't believe that's coming from you.
I'm not saying that's an excuse, but that's a part of it. That's a part of why they lost yesterday. I think to me, what I saw yesterday was missing those guys and coaches.
Hey, Gilbert, I can't believe that I'm sitting here in front of the gravedigger
with that red shirt on.
And the gravedigger is saying,
looking like a big tomato.
And the gravedigger is saying,
"What am I saying? Don't put no words in my mouth, Earl."
Okay.
Go ahead. Okay. Well, you saying don't put no words in my mouth. I'm not making excuses, Earl. We lost yesterday, but you got to tell the folks why we lost. You can't just say Jordan Love sucks. That's why we lost.
Hey, I didn't say Jordan Love. Here's what happened, Gilbert. So the Packers were up 24 to 10.
Right, for a long time. Yeah, they held that for a long time.
Going into the fourth quarter. They got outscored 13-0 in the fourth quarter. They didn't get a first down at all in the third quarter.
Did they get complacent?
They had three possessions.
Did they get complacent, Earl?
I think the play calling, one time they handed
you
the
didn't
ball
keep
up.
Your foot on their throat?
Well, I think, it's not like, I mean, Atlanta was playing good ball. They made some mistakes when they got in the red zone. And three or four times. The Packers didn't stop them the whole game. Okay, because they ran for 213 yards. They controlled the time of possession, the Falcons. They just weren't scoring. For instance, in the first half, they got these running backs, man, there's some bad running backs. They got first and goal at the 1 yard line. This is the Falcons. I don't understand, Gilbert, why you're throwing the ball and you got studs in your backfield. And they went three times. They tried to throw the ball twice. It's first and goal, man. Smash mouth football. Run it in. So they
did they get it?
They got 3 points out of that deal.
Defense held.
Yeah,
that's what defense was supposed to do.
They tried to throw.
We don't care, but we don't care about Atlanta though. Let's talk about our team.
Okay.
Why we fail? I understand they got great. Each team got good players. We got to figure out how to stop those players. We got to figure out how to show up and beat these guys.
So
yesterday we started out good. We got to finish good.
Well, there were several factors. And why the Packers lost on yesterday. Again, the fact that the defense allowed 212 yards, you know, and two guys in 35 carries, they got 175 yards. And so they dominated the time of possession Atlanta did. And the Packers, who should have been, and you always talk about it, they're strong, their core, their front four, and their linebackers, physically strong, Gilbert. Would you agree?
Yes.
And then they got some backup boys on the line. Yes. Well, they got pushed around yesterday. Okay. That's one of the reasons, Gilbert, they got pushed around yesterday. And
yeah, go
ahead.
You hate to say it like that. You know, because we got some good guys up there. We got, you know, but you also got to look at the scheme. You see what I'm saying? What kind of scheme was we playing to where we let these backs get out there like they did? You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, they run the ball to take time of possession and take the ball out of our hands.
Right.
And that's what they did yesterday.
But I remember you saying something to me, Gil, but I remember everything you say to me. I do. You told me once before, you said even as bad as you can be as a college player, you turn around and that offensive lineman you playing against on the other side, he ain't chopped liver.
No, so the Falcons, he get paid too.
So the Falcons clearly must have some pretty good offensive linemen. Is it safe to say that? If they can push around the Packers defense.
Yes. Yes, for them, offensive linemen to do what they did yesterday, and get the job done with them on the ground. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, we really need to look at this film as a defense and find out not to let that happen again.
Because it's safe to say they must have some pretty good offensive linemen to be able to push around the Packers defense. Is it safe to say that?
Right.
All right, listen, we got to go to a break. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Gilbert, they're calling for Dylan to be gone. They want Dylan gone. Come on. We'll be right back.
Listen, we got to attack that.
Yeah. Hey, Gilbert.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. They really beating up Dylan, man.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshes marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Aaron comes in every day looking like he just stepped out of a Turkish bathhouse because it's so hot in there. Just to recap, so far this segment has been filled with dog vomit, old men peeing, and Aaron wearing a dish towel. So we're...
Hey man, your name's on the show. Your name's on the show.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
When they had Aaron Rodgers, they were
kind of drafted. The offensive line is full of pass blocking guys. They're not full of run blocking guys. It's a difference in our offensive line and Philly's offensive line.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. So we'll take that on the other side. That's a good point.
Yeah. So you can't jump down my man's throat like that.
They are.
North winds.
Oh, they love
5 miles an hour. Lows level off around 51 tonight. Cloudy skies expected. Overcast tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered rain showers. High of 69. Upper 70s Wednesday and Thursday with a chance for scattered storms Wednesday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 52 degrees.
All right, welcome back to Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger on the Earl Ingram Show. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Did you watch the game yesterday? We'd love to hear from you and your views on what you saw. 844-967-2789, Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. So Gilbert, a lot of complaining about Dylan, and it's time for Dylan to go. So they didn't have Aaron Jones yesterday at all. They tried to feature Dylan in his place. They ran Dylan in the backfield with no other blocker, Gilbert. Okay? So, you know, it wasn't like they had a fullback and then Dylan. It was just Dylan back there with Jordan Love. So explain to people in the best way you can to why you can't blame what happened yesterday on Dylan. He's not Aaron Jones, is he?
No, he's not. I mean, like I said, the comparisons are different. I mean, if you give the ball to Jones 10 times, it's going to be 10 different outcomes than what Dylan does. You know what I'm saying? Dylan's a bruiser back. You know what I'm saying? And people don't understand. I mean, it's kind of like when we used to play Tampa, when Tampa was in the black and blue division. And they had Warg Dunn and Allstott, you know. Warg Dunn is the quick scat back. Right. He gonna get these so many yards. Warg Dunn's the bruiser. He gonna hit you. Now, it's kind of like you got Batman and Robin back there. Okay? Batman gonna give it to you. Robin gonna clean it up. But when you take away Batman and everybody focuses on Robin, Robin's not the feature. And then you have to go back and say, okay, you got to look at and analyze it really good. You know, the media just want to jump down people's throat and they don't really watch the game. They don't really understand the game. These guys get paid to just run their mouth and move a pen across a piece of paper. What I'm trying to tell you is that, and I'm not making excuses. You know, we had two starters out yesterday. One didn't play and one went out the game, right? Jenkins, right?
Yeah.
And you also got to understand that if you're running, you got to make plays for Dylan. Same play. You can't make the same plays for Aaron Jones and Dylan because you're going to get different outcomes. Get that boy something that's in between the tackles. But then you got to say, do we have the offensive line? Our offensive line is built to pass block. Our offensive line ain't built to run the ball. You understand what I'm saying? There's a difference in our line and Philly's line. There's a difference in so many lines because we were built to pass block and protect. You know, there's a difference when you built to run the ball. And we in this West Coast offense, it's more finesse than being physical.
So people might
want a guy to be physical back there, but we ain't got the front to do physical.
But see, Gilbert, people might say, well, you saying that, but Aaron Jones is able to run with that. But as you stated, he's different.
Right. He's a different back, Earl. He's that guy that's gonna get. He gonna find that hole and he gonna excel. He gonna find. He just like how Barry Sanders was when Barry Sanders didn't have an offensive line and did all that work.
Right.
And Aaron Jones is a real integral part of this offense. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you see why it's different. Now you see why they need him. You see what I'm saying?
Well, you know, all that being said, the talk next year is that they can't afford him. And so, you know, based on just what you see without him, mm-hmm. He's one of the top backs in the league. They missed him. I would safely say, Gilbert, it's safe to say that if they had Aaron Jones yesterday, they would have got at least 1 point. He would have been worth at least 1 or 2 points, right?
Even coming out of the backfield as a receiver, he's deadly.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? He was picking up the slack that Watson when he's been out. But when you lose two key receivers like that, I mean, to me, when I look at this game, what happened yesterday, we lost as a team.
Yeah, but you offense, always lose as a team, though, man.
No, you don't. Offense, defense, and special teams, and coaching. We lost as a team. You can see if we lost because the offense wasn't scoring points.
Oh, man.
Or we can see if we lost if we fumbled the ball on special teams and gave it away. The defense couldn't step up. It's three phases of the game that you lose the game with. You can't win with just two phases of the game.
Hey, Gilbert, man, I can't believe I'm sitting here with...
That's because the wool has been pulled over your eyes, and now you got somebody that's going to tell you the truth.
Gravedigger saying it's the whole team loses, not part the
whole,
of the
yeah,
team.
In reality, yeah, the whole team loses, but there's breakdowns in somewhere. And yesterday, we couldn't score. We couldn't move the ball.
When you needed to.
Defense couldn't stop.
When they nobody. Needed to. When they needed to.
When they needed to. And special teams, I don't deal with them.
Okay, you know, you know, man, you know, the Packers.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
CBS News Brief. Worries over flooding from heavy rain and high winds from Tropical Storm Ophelia, though wind speeds have dropped since it made landfall this morning. WJZ-TV reporter Miona Massey is in Annapolis, Maryland.
We are here just bracing for those impacts. The rain expected to pick up throughout the day. The wind, a major concern here, as we're also bracing for potential flooding as that rain does pick up.
Federal workers are bracing for a government shutdown, even though House Speaker Kevin McCarthy is insisting he can work things out with hardline GOP members over a spending bill.
I believe we have a majority here, and we can work together to solve this.
United Auto workers on the picket lines have angry things to say about car companies and the profits they've been making, like this Massachusetts shop chair.
Record times, record profits for these companies, and we want our fair share of the profits.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keys.
Ready to ride?
Just let me get my flip-flops on.
Whoa, Mom and Dad are going for a ride without their protective gear.
Quick, grab the checklist. I'll grab the gear.
Just where do you two think you're going without your safety gear?
Yeah, you know how we feel about riding without your gear.
Well, it's so nice out.
And we're only going for a short ride.
Not before you put all this gear on, you're not.
But...
Riding pants?
Okay. Check.
Motorcycle boots?
Bye-bye, flip-flops.
Check.
Armored jackets?
Nice. Check.
Riding gloves?
Two pairs.
Check.
Last but not least, full-face helmets.
Check.
Now you're ready to ride.
And you look cool.
All the gear, all the time. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Be home on time for dinner.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back to Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger on the Earl Ingram Show. The Monday after, and so, you know, before we go to the phone line, so Gilbert, here's what Coach LaFleur had to say.
LaFleur.
You guys saw it. They shredded us consistently. Atlanta had little, if any, desire to throw the football. It only opened up the offense once the game got into a passing script for them. Last week, it felt like a step in the right direction for the Packers' run defense. Sunday, it was the same old J defense, grade F. Coaching, LaFleur, aggression was on full display early in the game. He opened the day with a flea flicker trying to use the Falcons' aggressive defense against them. A drive that started promising ended in disaster. The Packers were in field goal range when they took an inexcusable delay of game penalty. So Anyway, Gilbert, let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we the people are ultimately the owners of the Packers, which is actually a good thing. But, Earl, you know what? We have such a throwaway culture. Oh, my God. You would have thought the Packers got beat by 50 points yesterday, the way everyone's talking and the way everyone thinks the world's coming to an end. They got beat by 1 point. I understand that there could have been a couple of things that could have gone one way or the other way. And there could have been one thing that went the other way, one way or the other way for the other team as well. And give me a break. Talking about getting rid of a running back who's a backup running back for the most part behind Aaron Jones in Dillon is absolutely ridiculous. So anybody that's calling or, you know, talking about getting rid of Dillon, man, oh, man, he's a fullback runner.
Yeah, that's what he is.
He's basically a semi coming through. So he's got some blocking in front of him to make it happen. Whereas Aaron Jones is also a fullback runner, but he's also a halfback runner. He's a finesse and a semi coming through. So, people, chill out. The problem with this culture, the problem with this world, is that everyone's a critic. Everyone thinks that their critic, them being a critic, is like starting with Simon Cowell, for God's sakes, and ending up with a politician.
Hey, Tom, you know, you're from Wisconsin. You know, life starts and ends with Green Bay Packer football, man. Thank you very much for the call. Gilbert?
Yeah, Tom, he's in a way he's kind of in and out of the thing. You know, he's telling everybody, look, man, you can't panic right now.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
You know, number one and number two, you know, we are a team that's trying to find ourselves, man. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but then again, you cannot point the finger at one guy. You cannot. I mean, and if he's a fan that understands that A.J. Dillon is really a fullback and not a tailback, when we're trying to force him to be, you know, that's why you got to say, what if you wanted to do something right, why you didn't start that kid that was ripping them up in the preseason?
Well, see, Gilbert, you just took the words out of my mouth. They played the two tailbacks. The other two tailbacks they have, five plays the whole game. And so you're right. What they should have done was played the backup tailbacks in Aaron Jones' position.
And let A.J. Dillon still play his position.
Right.
And see what will happen. See, that's what I was saying before, Earl. The coaching is a big part of this. You know, you can't cancel out what they put out there for these guys to play, because at the end of the day, it's LaFleur's offense and old boy's defense. And their job is to put them in the best position to win the game.
Well,
period.
What are a lot of complaints about Joe Barry?
It's a lie.
Oh, you've heard it too.
Oh, absolutely. I can hear it all the way here in Detroit.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
You mean probably from players, right?
All the way around, Herb. All the way around.
Okay, so let me ask you.
What I'm saying?
If Joe Barry is such a bad coach. I didn't say you. Yeah. If Joe Barry is such a bad coach, why would Matt LaFleur stake his career on Joe Barry?
That's a good question, because you got to ask yourself. I mean, if I was a coach, I'm gonna put the best foot forward.
Well, he must believe in
Joe. And if the guy is not, he must believe in him, because he's still there.
Right.
You know, what LaFleur is saying is that I'm not gonna let the media tell me what to do.
Yep. Which is right.
I'm gonna wait and see how this guy turns out.
Well, but
and
he knows.
Obviously. Huh?
He knows. Joe Barry was there and gone, and he went and got him back. So he knows who and what Joe Barry is. Mm. That's his guy, Gilbert.
Yeah, that's his guy. He gonna live it. That's the saying. You gonna live and die what you got. Mm-hmm. Okay. But then again, you if the players are not believing in the scheme, or something is not helping these players get over the top. I mean, because let's see, if these guys come out running the ball like that,
yeah.
You mean to tell me that we can't, I mean, with the physical players that we got, we can't put guys in a better position to stop this?
Hey, Gilbert, Packers got some physical players. There's no question about it. Oh, they're physical. They're a physical football team. That's why when the game, and they kind of knew Atlanta was going to run the ball, because Atlanta's got a second-year quarterback. Okay, so it's not like they
went out and drafted, and they went out and drafted some good running backs.
Yeah, they got, and that's what they do. They run the ball. So the Packers mm-hmm. knew they were going to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was no surprise. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't stop them. And like
that's I the thing. You, it's like Joe Barry say, okay, if we take away the run, we want them to pass the ball.
Yeah, but
we couldn't stop the run.
No, you couldn't stop the run.
So what kind of game plan did you have?
I'm sure he.
That's the question.
Gilbert, I told you that running back, and you kind of jumped on me a little bit earlier. The running back.
Yeah, because you said they was great.
Yeah.
They
great.
They okay.
Hey, 10 years from now, they'll be talking about this running back that the Falcons got. Okay? That's how good that young man is. And his name is Ryder. But you remember I told you. That's how good that young man is, powerful, and then Tyler Algieri is they've got their 1-2, one guy runs straight ahead full speed with power, Gilbert, which is what you were talking about, full speed straight ahead. The other cat, scat back, man, he gonna cut on a dime. You think you got him, and that's what they did. They 1-2. Scat back, and then a power back, and that's what they did, and just ran the ball down the Packers' throats. Now, I don't know if any other team's going to be able to do that, because right now the NFL is kind of going away from the importance of running backs, right? We talked about that all during the preseason. Well, Atlanta is the opposite. They're saying, hey, we're building our team around running the football, and the Packers couldn't stop it. So, I don't know, man. I will say this. Our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. We're only into game two. They're 1-1. They're in a division that everybody else is 1-1, except for the Chicago Bears, who are 0-2. So everybody else lost in their division.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not like, you know, they're in a division where somebody's going to go 11-6, you know. Mm-hmm. They have a shot in that division because, you know, the Vikings are somebody else who are rebuilding, and the Lions, who I still think is the best team in the division, lost yesterday in a shootout. So, you know, it's game two. And to somehow say, well, Love didn't do this. You and I talked about this going back to preseason. Hey, man, we hope they don't scapegoat Jordan Love. Remember? We spent time talking about that. There are people now saying, well, Jordan Love didn't do anything in the fourth quarter. Well, you know, quarterbacks, you know, three and out twice, and then it was fourth and in the, you know, after the Falcons kicked the field goal and took the lead, the Packers had one last chance, Gilbert. They're on their 25. It's 37 seconds left. No timeouts. They expected Jordan Love to be able to move them from the Packer 25 into field goal position with that 37 seconds. He's not Aaron Rodgers, is he?
Earl, we got to, you know, you got to ask yourself. When you put a team like this together, a young team like this, have they been in this position before?
No.
Have they been in this type of adversity before? Can they pull themselves out of this type of adversity? That's where you got to understand. That's where leadership comes in. That's where having good veterans come in to help these young guys and culture, man. You know what I'm saying? You was whooping them.
Right.
Then all of a sudden, what happened? That's what I'm saying, man. It's with a young team like this, you're going to have these kind of stumbles, man.
So the Falcons are kind of a young team. And is this where veterans can hold it together? I mean, what would a veteran have done, Gilbert, you on the line, and you're watching your line being chewed up, and you got bad players. What would a veteran have said to them?
You number one, you got to pull it together, man. Number two, you got to have a guy that's been there before to help these guys understand what kind of game this is. You're away from home, crowds in the game. It's the ATL, first of all. And if they young or we young, they got the momentum because they're at home. You see what I'm saying? But then again, we can't give them stuff to build them up. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you got to change stuff up to get that first down. So then we got to get some of this momentum back. We can't just go in three and out.
Well, that's what you can't do. I know, but that's
what you know happened. What I'm saying? You know, is it play calling was too conservative because we're up?
Yeah, that was part of it.
I mean, come on, man. You got to find ways to, you know, take this momentum back as a coach.
So Gilbert, when you're up 13 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yes.
And you're not going to be, you know, throwing Hail Marys.
No.
Okay. So, and your defense has held them as far as points are concerned throughout the game. I guess there was no way for them to believe that they were going to score those 13 points based on what happened in the first half. So what I would ask you is those defensive players played major college football. They need somebody to get them to understand what's going on.
No, Earl, it's not. I mean, it's like, man, this Atlanta team came out the second half with more fire than we did and took over the game. It's plain and simple. We lost the game in the second half. And I don't understand how.
All right, listen, we got to go to break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger on the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
That's that Tupac.
Hey y'all, this is Ronte, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich is the pimento cheese. I was like, go cheese, go pimento, go honey, go get it.
Hi, this is Shantrese, and a little thing I love about the Chick-fil-A honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich is the mild spiciness of the pickled jalapenos. No, it's the crispy chicken. Actually, I can't decide. It's the entire sandwich.
Order the honey pepper pimento chicken sandwich on the Chick-fil-A app today. Available for a limited time. Real Chick-fil-A guests paid for their testimonials.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been done this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
I called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
To all my peoples in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream.
All right, welcome back to Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger on the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go to Rico from Rock County. Good morning to you, Rico. How you doing? Your thoughts?
Hey, guys. How you doing this morning?
All right.
Yeah, Gilbert.
Good morning.
Gilbert hit that nail on the head. Hey, Gilbert, how you doing? Hey, you
hey,
hit
bro.
The nail on the head, Gilbert. They lost that brother in that second half. And, you know, you got LaFleur. He say, oh, the next guy up, and before the game even start. Well, who was that next guy up to take over for Aaron Jones? I don't know about you, but he certainly had an opportunity to put his name in the big time yesterday. But I don't think he ever got hardly called upon. I don't even know who the guy is. Is it Wilson?
Yeah. So.
I mean, who is that next guy?
So see, Rico, you
tell just, him, Rico.
No,
tell
no,
him.
No. So Rico just explained that. Gilbert and the fact that those are tailbacks, the two guys he just mentioned were tailbacks. They never got a chance. You know, Wilson, the rookie guy got one carry and Taylor, the other guy got about three carries. So, you know, they did not run the ball and when they did run it, it was with the fullback. So fullback, 15 carries for 51 yards. The two scat backs got six carries together, and I think they got about 12, 14 yards. So they never really gave it a chance, Gilbert.
It's called, when we lose, it's called keeping it real Monday. And right now, we keeping it real because you got to ask yourself, did the coach put us in the best position? I mean, if you got a cat that was killing everybody in the preseason.
Yeah.
Your number one dog went down. You got to put somebody in that position and leave A.J. Dillon where he belongs.
So let me tell you what I think is happening, Gilbert. A.J. Dillon is up for contract next year. He asked for money this year, and they turned him down. So it's pretty clear, you know, maybe what's going to happen. Let's go to Ken from Sturgeon Bay. Good morning to you, Ken. You say what? Ken.
Calvin, Ken.
Okay. But Gilbert, here's the deal. A.J. Dillon's contract is up. And you know, if he doesn't have a great season, you know, I think he's gone. Ken, are you there?
Yes.
All right.
Good morning, Calvin.
All right, good morning. You say what?
Gilbert hit it on the head. They got too conservative in the second half, I think, with offensive play calling. And then the defense got gassed. That's my opinion of it.
Well, the defense got gassed the whole game.
Well, it seemed to me like more in the second half because he seemed to be on the field quite a bit more. But
yeah.
I think the offensive play calling just got so conservative. Maybe it was because of the players or what, but that's just my opinion, gentlemen.
Well, that's what we're after. Thank you very much for the call, Gilbert. Uh,
You know what? You know what? It's also a part of we. I don't know what it is, but every time we go into a dome, we don't play well.
Well, you guys,
I mean,
had trouble
when I was there, we never played well,
right?
You know, but then again, I mean, hey, man. But at the end of the day, we got to put this is game three coming up. We all knew this season wasn't going to be great. You know what I'm saying? But don't push the panic button yet. Don't do it.
Hey, Gilbert. What I say. Hey, Gilbert. Yes, 9-8.
I don't care about that, Earl. I just told you I'm going game by game. I ain't gonna say we're gonna be 9-9 or 9-8 or whoever. I don't care about that. I watch the game to go
The Saints. They're playing the Saints this coming week.
Recap. We previewing the game.
Yeah. Saints.
It's gonna be tough.
Saints got a good defense.
Got a good defense. Yes, they're coming into Lambeau Field.
Yeah,
but we got the momentum.
You got the momentum. Why? Because you're playing in Lambeau Field?
Lambeau Field's a bad place, baby.
So I'm trying to figure this out. So you got the I thought the momentum came from winning and losing. Well, the Bears played the Packers in Soldier Field.
And Mike Tyson had the momentum every time he stepped into the ring until they threw the punch. You see what I'm saying? Mike Tyson beat guys before they got in the ring.
Right.
That's what we used to do in Lambeau Field.
You used to. We're talking about today.
We're trying to get it back.
Oh, okay.
That's when they sit up there and all the people saying, you know, we set a high bar. You see what I'm saying? These young cats got to grab that bar, man.
That's the difference. Hey, Gilbert, and they will and they may.
Eventually, yes.
But we all knew and everybody knew going in that this was kind of rebuilding.
Yeah. I remember. They don't want to call it that, though, right?
I know they don't want to call it that, but that's what it is. Hey, man, did you see Deion Sanders? You know how much the game tickets are?
No. Every time I turn around, I see a Colorado Buffalo.
Listen to this, man. $500 per ticket.
Did you see who he got in there?
Yeah, but Gilbert.
Rock was on, I know, hanging out.
Everybody is. But Gilbert.
Did you see him and his son in the KFC commercial?
Yeah, but Gilbert, $500 for a college football ticket.
Well deserved.
I mean, come on, man. It don't cost that much in Lambeau.
Well deserved.
Oh, okay. We got to talk about that. We're going to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
We got to
talk about that. And we also got to talk about how all the people hating on him.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We got to get out of here for now. Under the helmet with the grave digger. Hey, man, as always, man, get some rest.
I'm working on it. Thank you. Calvin, what's up, baby?
All right. We got
in the red shirt. I'm calling you Little Red Riding Hood with white hair.
Right. We'll be back on next Monday under the helmet with the grave digger. All right, Gilbert. See you later, man.
Love you, man.
I love you as well. We got to go to a break. We'll be right back.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs.
And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.